This delay before the rapture isn't mercy. Let me be frank with you, speaking directly from my heart, because I know you've pondered the same question that countless believers have quietly prayed about. Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? You witnessed the global chaos, the reports of wars, the rampant corruption, the devastating earthquakes, the moral decline, and an ever-increasing surge of evil. Yet, the heavens remain silent. No trumpet sounds, no sudden appearance, just waiting. For some, this waiting becomes an excuse to weaken their faith. For others, it's a stumbling block, a reason to doubt. But Jesus himself warned us that this delay would happen. He foretold a pause, a waiting season, a time that would test and reveal the true hearts of those claiming to follow him. But here's what many fail to grasp. This delay isn't an act of mercy. It's not a comfortable buffer for those who want to live partially in the world and partially in Christ. It's not a safety net for procrastination or a justification for repeatedly saying, "Tomorrow, I'll surrender my life." No, the delay preceding the rapture is a dividing line. It's a test of authenticity, exposing those who are genuinely watchful and ready, and those who are playing a risky game with eternity. It's not mercy for the apathetic. It's a refining fire for the faithful. The Bible repeatedly demonstrates that when God delays, he's not being lenient. He's revealing. Just as Noah's time exposed the scoffers, just as the prolonged wait for the bridegroom distinguished the wise from the foolish virgins, so too this pause before the rapture is uncovering the true state of your heart. And so I ask you, right now, if Jesus were to return tonight, would you be prepared? Or has this delay lulled you into a false sense of security, convincing you that you have more time? This isn't a message intended to entertain you. It's a warning, an earnest plea, a call to awaken your soul, because the delay before the rapture isn't mercy. It's your test, and your response to this moment will determine your eternity. Part 1. The deception of delay. Allow me to carefully guide you through this crucial truth, because what we're about to delve into isn't trivial or lighthearted. It's serious and sobering, but it's also essential for every soul longing to see Jesus face to face. The delay before the rapture is one of the greatest deceptions of the end times, not because the event itself is questionable, but because the waiting period has fostered a false sense of security. Think back with me to Noah's time. God issued Noah a clear warning. Judgment is imminent. Build an ark. Noah obeyed, not for a year or two, but for decades. Each day, he picked up his tools, worked in obedience, and kept his focus on God's promise. Meanwhile, the people around him laughed, mocked, and ridiculed. They interpreted the delayed judgment as proof that it would never happen. They scoffed, "Noah, where is this flood you keep talking about? We've lived like this for centuries, and nothing has changed." Their hearts were deceived by the delay. They mistook God's patience for his absence. Then, in an instant, the skies opened, the waters poured down, and the door of the ark was shut by God himself. The delay ended, and it ended without warning. This is precisely the picture Jesus painted when he spoke of his return. He said plainly, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man." People will be eating, drinking, marrying, working, living as though nothing will ever change. The delay will have lulled them into a dreamlike state, and when the trumpet sounds, they will be caught completely unprepared. You see, delay is dangerous because it whispers a lie. It tells the believer, "You have time. Don't worry about holiness today. You can repent tomorrow." It tells the backslider, "God isn't in a hurry. You can fix your life later." It tells the unbeliever, "There's no need to decide now. If this Jesus thing is real, you'll see it eventually." Delay deceives us into believing we are in control of the clock, but we are not. The times and seasons are in God's hands, not ours. Peter warned us about this deception, stating that in the last days scoffers would arise, questioning the promise of his return. Everything continues the same way it always has. Isn't that exactly what we hear today? The world scoffs at the idea of the rapture. They say, "You Christians have been waiting for 2,000 years. If he hasn't come by now, he's not coming." Even within the church, there are voices saying, "Don't get so focused on prophecy. Don't worry about the Lord's return. Just live your life." My friend, that is the deception of delay. It shifts your gaze from eternity and fixes it on the temporal. It diminishes your sense of urgency, dulls your faith, and makes you spiritually lethargic. Jesus repeatedly commanded us to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Why do you think he repeated that command so often? Because he knew delay would cause many to stop watching. He knew our human hearts grow tired, distracted, and weary when the wait is long. And so he warned us, stay awake, stay alert, stay ready. The delay is the most dangerous moment because it separates those who are genuinely waiting in faith from those who are only talking about waiting. Let's be honest, waiting is hard. When a promise is delayed, the temptation to doubt intensifies. Think of Abraham. God promised him a son, but years passed and nothing happened. The delay wasn't mercy, it was a test. And in that test, Abraham faltered. He tried to create Ishmael, a man-made solution to a God-given promise. The delay revealed his impatience. Yet, even in his mistake, God was working to refine Abraham's faith, to teach him that when God speaks, even if the promise is delayed, it will come to pass. How many Christians today are birthing Ishmaels in their own lives because they cannot handle the delay of Christ's coming? They reason, he's not returning soon, so I might as well live like the world. I might as well compromise a little, indulge a little, relax a little. And in doing so, they create a life built on sand, a false security, an imitation faith that will not stand when the trumpet blows. Delay doesn't just reveal faith, it reveals the lack of it. The deception of delay is that it feels safe. It tells you the storm isn't coming. It convinces you to postpone repentance, to delay obedience, to neglect prayer, to treat holiness as optional. But my friend, don't you see that this is the very strategy of the enemy? Satan knows he cannot stop the rapture. He cannot change God's timing, but he can deceive you into sleeping through the season. He can lull you into complacency with the lullaby of delay until the day comes like a thief in the night, and it's too late. Think about the parable of the 10 virgins. They were all waiting. They all had lamps. But because the bridegroom delayed, 5 fell asleep without oil. And when the cry came at midnight, they were not ready. Delay deceived them into thinking their lamps were enough. They thought, we're close enough. We're in the right group. We're part of the wedding party. But when the bridegroom came, their lack of oil was exposed. Delay didn't save them, it condemned them. And here's the frightening part. Those 5 virgins represent people in the church. They weren't outsiders. They weren't unbelievers. They were waiting in the right place with the right people, but they lacked the oil of the Spirit. Delay deceived them into thinking proximity was the same as preparation. But it wasn't. Only those who were filled, burning, and ready went into the wedding feast. The others were shut out, knocking on a door that would never open again. My friend, this is why I must speak plainly. Don't let the delay fool you. Don't mistake God's patience for permission. Don't confuse his timing with tolerance. This waiting period before the rapture isn't meant to give you space to play with sin. It's meant to expose whether you truly love him or not. It's meant to show whether your faith is genuine or counterfeit. The deception of delay can creep in silently. It shows up in the believer who says, I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. It shows up in the young person who says, I'll get serious about Jesus after I enjoy life a little. It shows up in the parent who says, I know I need to lead my children in the ways of God, but I'm too busy right now. It shows up in the preacher who says, I know prophecy is real, but it's not practical to preach about it. People don't want to hear it. One day turns into another. One compromise leads to the next. Before long, the oil runs dry, the lamp grows dim, and the heart no longer burns for his coming. That is the deception of delay. It robs you slowly, quietly, until you are spiritually bankrupt and don't even realize it. But let me remind you of something crucial. The delay is only deceptive if you stop watching. For those who are awake, alert, and filled with the Spirit, the delay isn't a trap, but a test they are passing daily. While the world grows colder, their fire grows hotter. While others drift, they draw near. While the scoffers mock, they lift their heads, knowing their redemption draws near. The difference isn't in the length of the delay, but in the posture of the heart during it. This is why Jesus warned us, "Blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes." Doing what? Watching, waiting, serving, living faithfully, not because it's easy, but because the delay cannot shake their hope. That servant is blessed because he refused to be deceived by the waiting. He kept his eyes on the sky, his heart on the promise, and his life in obedience. So let me ask you directly, how are you handling this delay? Has it deceived you into slumber? Or has it driven you into deeper intimacy with Christ? Has it dulled your urgency? Or has it sharpened your longing? Are you living like the flood will never come? Or like Noah, are you hammering faithfully, even when the world laughs? I tell you the truth, my friend, the delay before the rapture isn't mercy for the lukewarm. It isn't leniency for the half-hearted. It isn't a license for the world-loving Christian to keep one foot in the kingdom and one foot in sin. It's a deception for those who do not see clearly, but it's also a gift for those who will use it wisely. Because if you endure the delay with faith, you will be ready the moment the trumpet sounds. Do not be deceived. The Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what Peter wrote. But understand, long-suffering isn't the same as indulgence. God isn't overlooking sin. He's giving space for hearts to be revealed. And when the last heart is revealed, when the last soul that will repent repents, the delay will end. And when it ends, there will be no more chances, no more time, no more warnings. This delay isn't mercy, it's the final proving ground. Part 2, the testing of faith. Faith is one of those words we use often, but rarely pause to consider its true meaning. Everyone claims to have faith. People claim it as casually as they might say they believe in good luck or destiny. But biblical faith, the kind of faith that saves, sustains, and separates us for eternity, isn't measured in the easy moments of life. It isn't measured when the skies are clear, when blessings are abundant, or when answers come quickly. True faith is tested in the waiting. And it's in the delay before the rapture that God is testing faith on a global scale. Think again of the parable of the 10 virgins. All of them set out with lamps. All of them had the intention of meeting the bridegroom. All of them were part of the wedding company. Yet, when the bridegroom delayed, it became clear who had true faith and who did not. The wise had oil because they believed in their hearts the bridegroom would come, even if he delayed. Their faith prepared them to endure the wait. The foolish did not. They may have said with their lips that they were waiting, but their actions proved otherwise. Their lack of oil revealed that they never expected the wait to be long, and deep down, they didn't take the bridegroom's coming seriously. This is how faith is tested in delay. Words are easy, but endurance proves what words cannot. A person can declare faith when the preacher asks. A person can raise their hand, walk down the aisle, repeat the prayer, and call themselves Christian. But if their faith cannot survive the silence of heaven, the seasons of waiting, the absence of immediate reward, then their faith was never alive to begin with. Abraham's story drives this home. God told him, "You will have a son." Abraham believed. But then came the years, the waiting, the silence. Each year Sarah grew older. Each year her womb grew weaker, and still no son. What did the delay reveal? It revealed the cracks in Abraham's faith. It exposed the temptation to manufacture his own answer through Hagar and Ishmael. Yet, even in the testing, Abraham eventually learned that faith must rest not in circumstances, not in the ticking clock, but in the God who cannot lie. By the time Isaac was finally born, Abraham's faith had matured through the fire of waiting. That's the pattern. Delay doesn't destroy faith. It reveals whether your faith is shallow or genuine. And it refines those who cling to God despite the silence. Now bring this truth to the present. The church has been waiting for nearly 2,000 years for the rapture. Generations have lived and died believing it could happen in their lifetime. Some scoff and say, "See, they were wrong. It hasn't happened yet." But that scoffing only proves Peter's prophecy true, that in the last days, scoffers will question the promise of his return. The real question isn't whether Jesus is coming. He surely is. The real question is whether your faith can endure the waiting without losing fire. Think of the Israelites in the wilderness. They had faith when God parted the Red Sea. They shouted when manna fell from heaven. They sang when water flowed from a rock. But when Moses delayed on Mount Sinai, their faith crumbled. A matter of days without leadership and without visible evidence of God's hand, and they built a golden calf. Do you see the pattern? Delay doesn't just test, it exposes. When God seems silent, do you keep worshiping him, or do you create an idol to fill the void? When prayers go unanswered, do you lean deeper into his promises, or do you turn back to the world for comfort? The testing of faith in this hour is intense. Some of you listening to this right now feel it deeply. You've prayed for loved ones to be saved, but years pass, and nothing changes. You've asked for God to heal, but the sickness lingers. You've believed for breakthrough, but the struggle drags on. And in the middle of that, the greatest promise of all, the coming of Christ, still waits. This isn't a cruel trick. This isn't God toying with your emotions. This is the very furnace of faith. This is where gold is refined. Faith that collapses in waiting was never faith at all. But faith that survives delay, faith that clings when the answer doesn't come, faith that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is the faith that overcomes the world. And make no mistake, the delay before the rapture is a universal test. Every believer is being sifted. Some are growing weary and drifting, their lamps growing dim. Others are pressing in like never before, trimming their lamps, filling their oil, saying, I don't care how long it takes, my bridegroom is worth the wait. And here lies the dividing line between the wise and the foolish, between the true and the false. Let me give you another picture. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. How long did they wait? They didn't know. Jesus didn't give them a time frame. He simply said, wait. Do you realize that the upper room experience on the day of Pentecost wasn't just about receiving the Holy Spirit? It was about proving faith. Over 500 believers saw the risen Christ. He told them to wait. But when Pentecost came, only about 120 were in the room. Where were the others? The delay had tested them, and they failed. Only those who endured the wait with faith experienced the power. Now think about that in the context of the rapture. Jesus told us to watch, to be ready, to endure. But how many will grow tired of waiting and walk away? How many will go back to the world, back to compromise, back to spiritual sleep, because they thought the delay meant nothing would happen? And how many will keep pressing in, keep seeking, keep expecting until the trumpet blows? The answer to that question will separate those who rise to meet him from those left behind. Delay not only tests our faith in his coming, it tests our love for him. If you're engaged to be married and your fiancé delays their arrival, true love doesn't fade. It doesn't say, well, they're late, I might as well find someone else. True love waits, prepares, and longs all the more. That's why the delay before the rapture reveals who truly loves Jesus. If you only loved him for blessings, your love will fade when the blessings feel distant. If you only loved him for answered prayers, your love will fade when the answers delay. But if you love him for who he is, your love will only deepen with the wait. That's the testing of faith, and that's what this delay is doing right now in your heart. Let me press this deeper. In Luke 18, Jesus told a parable about a persistent widow who kept pleading with an unjust judge until she received justice. He used this story to show the need for constant prayer and perseverance. But at the end of the parable, Jesus asked a haunting question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's the question of the delay. Will there be faith when he comes? Not shallow faith, not casual belief, but real, enduring, fire-tested faith. And here is where I must be honest with you. The testing of faith through delay isn't comfortable. It's not meant to be. It's meant to strip away everything superficial. It's meant to expose false hopes, tear down idols, and bring you to the place where your only anchor is Christ himself. The waiting season before the rapture is painful because it makes us confront the depth of our commitment. It asks us, do you love his appearing, or do you only love the idea of escape from trouble? Do you long for him, or do you only long for relief? Delay refines the motive of faith. If you find yourself weary in this waiting season, take heart. Weariness isn't failure. Even the strongest saints have cried out, how long, O Lord? The psalmists asked it, the prophets asked it. The martyrs under the altar in Revelation cry out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge? God does not despise your cry, but he does call you to endure. And endurance is the proof of faith. Faith doesn't quit when the answer delays. Faith doesn't fold when the night feels long. Faith clings all the tighter because it knows that the bridegroom is worth every moment of waiting. So I urge you, don't let the testing of faith drive you to despair. Let it drive you to deeper intimacy with Christ. Let it purify your motives. Let it strip away every false foundation until your life rests on him alone. When the trumpet sounds, and it will, those who endured the test of faith will rise with joy because the one they loved, the one they trusted, the one they waited for has finally come. And when that day arrives, every moment of delay will make sense. Every tear shed in the waiting, every prayer whispered in the silence, every sacrifice made in faith will shine with eternal reward. The testing of faith isn't in vain. It's producing in you a weight of glory that cannot be compared. That's why this delay before the rapture isn't mercy in the way the world imagines. It's mercy for those who use it to grow. Yes, but it's judgment for those whose faith withers. It's the fire that tests every heart. And when the testing is complete, when the bridegroom comes, the only question left will be this: did your faith endure? Part 3, the separation of the church. When Jesus spoke of the last days, he didn't sugarcoat his words. He didn't paint a picture of an easy road, nor did he describe a church that would be comfortable, safe, and admired by the world. Instead, he described a dividing line. He spoke of sheep and goats, wheat and tares, wise and foolish, faithful and unfaithful. He told us that two would be in the field, one taken and the other left. Two would be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. And if you listen carefully to his voice, you realize that the delay before the rapture isn't just a test of faith. It's the very tool by which he is separating his people. This separation isn't happening in a dramatic flash we can see with our natural eyes. It's happening quietly, day by day, decision by decision. It's happening in the way people respond to the delay. Some are growing cold while others are burning hotter. Some are clinging to the world while others are detaching themselves from it more and more. The line is being drawn not between churchgoers and atheists, not between those who attend on Sunday and those who don't, but between those who truly belong to Christ and those who only wear the name. Think of the wheat and the tares. Jesus said they would grow together until the harvest arrives. From a distance, the wheat and the weeds appear almost indistinguishable. It's difficult to tell them apart as they grow. But the truth reveals itself when harvest time comes. The wheat, heavy with grain, bows gracefully. The weeds, however, remain standing tall and empty, devoid of any fruit. Can you see the comparison? At this very moment, in this season of waiting, the wheat and the weeds are growing side by side within the church. They might sing the same hymns, read the same scriptures, and both proclaim, "Lord, Lord." Yet, only one is truly bearing fruit. Only one is bowed down in humility. Only one is genuinely rooted in Christ. The other merely puts on a show, but lacks true spiritual life. The delay before the rapture is the growing season, the period of time that will make this difference undeniably clear. Separation is never easy. We desperately want to believe that everyone who occupies a pew, everyone who raises their hands in worship, everyone who claims to be a Christian, will be ready when the trumpet sounds. But Jesus clearly told us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's the dividing line being drawn even now. The delay preceding the rapture is cutting deep, exposing obedience and disobedience, loyalty and betrayal, devotion and apathy. Look back at the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts. Multitudes were drawn to the apostles. They witnessed the miracles, felt the power of the Holy Spirit, and wanted to be a part of that movement. But as the years went by, and as persecution intensified, a separation began to occur. Those who were simply in it for the excitement, those who craved the signs without being willing to endure the suffering, gradually fell away. Only those who genuinely loved Christ remained steadfast, even when it meant sacrificing their own lives. Delay and trial separated the true disciples from the casual crowd. The very same thing is unfolding today. This waiting season before the rapture is pushing people into a corner, forcing them to make a choice. You can't remain neutral forever. You're either drawing closer to Christ or drifting further away from him. The delay exposes the true direction of your heart. Consider the words of John in his first letter. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." That's separation in its essence. The delay reveals who perseveres and who abandons the faith. It reveals whether your roots run deep into Christ or whether your faith is shallow and temporary. Jesus illustrated this perfectly in the parable of the sower. Some seeds sprouted quickly but withered under the intense sun because they lacked a strong root system. Others were choked out by thorns representing the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. But only the seed that was planted in good soil bore fruit with endurance. Notice, again, that endurance is the defining characteristic of true faith. Delay acts like the scorching sun and the choking weeds, and only genuine faith can survive it. Now, let's bring this closer to home. Look at the church today. You can already see a clear separation taking shape. Some congregations are actively chasing after the world, watering down the gospel message, and trading holiness for popularity. They say things like, "Don't talk about the rapture, it's too controversial. Don't preach about judgment, it drives people away. Let's keep the message light, fun, and positive." They mistakenly equate large numbers with fruitfulness, applause with true anointing, and large crowds with genuine commitment. But when the trumpet sounds, the true separation will be revealed. Other congregations, though often smaller in number, are clinging to the ancient paths, preaching repentance, warning about the return of Christ, and urging people to pursue holiness. They may be mocked, ignored, and even despised by some. But when the bridegroom finally arrives, it will be clear where the true oil was found. Separation is also taking place within individual families. Jesus himself said, "A man's enemies will be those of his own household." Families are being divided over matters of faith. Some in your own home may laugh at your devotion, roll their eyes when you speak of Jesus's return, or mock your sense of urgency. The delay exposes these divisions as well. Just as Noah's family was divided, with some safely inside the ark and others left outside to face the flood, so it will be in this hour. You cannot simply coast into eternity on the faith of your family members, your pastor, or your friends. The delay before the rapture is forcing each person to stand on their own spiritual foundation. Your oil must be your own. It can't be borrowed from someone else. Think about Lot's family in Sodom. When the angels came to warn him of the impending judgment, his sons-in-law scoffed, thinking he was joking. They mistook God's patience for a sign that judgment wouldn't come. They perished because they refused to believe. Even Lot's wife couldn't fully separate herself from the city. Although she physically left Sodom, her heart remained tethered to it. She looked back and judgment fell upon her. That's the danger of delay. It reveals where your heart truly lies. You may walk alongside the faithful, sit in church, and sing the hymns, but if your heart still yearns for Sodom, the delay will ultimately expose it. This separation is painful to witness, but it is absolutely necessary. God is not returning for a mixed bride, one who is half in love with him and half in love with the world. He is coming back for a bride who has made herself ready, clothed in white, pure, and faithful. That's precisely what the delay is accomplishing. It is preparing the bride by separating her from all that is false, shallow, and worldly. So, let me speak directly to your heart. If you feel like this period of waiting has been difficult, if you feel like the delay has stretched on far longer than you ever imagined, don't despise it. Instead, recognize what it's doing within you. It's cutting away the dead weight, exposing hidden idols you weren't even aware you possessed, and forcing you to make a choice. Will you cling to Christ, no matter how long the waiting continues? Or will you drift back into the world because the weight of waiting feels too heavy to bear? Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That's exactly what the delay before the rapture is, the ultimate spiritual self-examination. It asks, am I truly his, or am I merely close to him? Am I bearing fruit, or am I simply wearing a label? The line is being drawn now, before the trumpet sounds, because after that, it will be too late. Don't be afraid of this separation. It may cost you friendships, opportunities, and even comfort. But separation is a sign that you truly belong to him. Jesus himself said, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." That call is resonating louder than ever during this delay. The true church is being separated, refined, and purified. The false church is being exposed, revealed for its compromise and worldliness. And when the bridegroom arrives, the separation will be complete. The delay before the rapture isn't an act of mercy for the lukewarm. It isn't a comfortable cushion for those who are compromising their faith. It is the threshing floor, the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. And you, my friend, must decide which side you're on. This delay won't last forever. The cry will go out at midnight, and when it does, the door will be shut. Until then, every day of delay is another day of separation, another day to choose. So, ask yourself now, before it's too late, am I ready to be taken, or will I be left behind? Am I wheat or a weed, wise or foolish, filled or empty, faithful or false? The delay is already answering that question for you, whether you realize it or not. And when the trumpet sounds, the answer will be final. Part 4, the exposure of hearts. There's something about waiting that strips away the outer layers and reveals what's truly inside. The delay before the rapture isn't just about the passage of time. It's about hearts being revealed, laid bare for all to see. This is the season where the true condition of every soul is being exposed, not with dramatic announcements or flashing lights, but with a quiet, undeniable revelation. Delay doesn't lie. It has a unique way of pulling back the curtains of our lives and showing us exactly where our treasure, our love, and our loyalty truly reside. Think about the story of Lazarus. When his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus that he was sick, they fully expected him to come immediately. They had witnessed his miracles firsthand and knew that he possessed the power to heal. But the Bible tells us something quite astonishing. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he deliberately stayed where he was for 2 more days. That delay exposed something profound in Mary and Martha. They still loved Jesus, without a doubt, but they wrestled with the limits of their belief in him. They could readily believe that he could heal the sick, but they hadn't yet fully grasped the truth that he was, in fact, the resurrection and the life itself. The delay revealed the boundaries of their faith. When he finally arrived, Martha said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That was her honest, heartfelt sentiment, brought to the surface by the delay. And through that delay, Jesus revealed his glory in a way that they could never have imagined. Delay always works in this way. It reveals the boundaries of our faith, the depth of our trust, and the true measure of our devotion. You can easily claim to love God when everything is happening quickly, when prayers are answered almost instantly, and when blessings flow freely. But what happens when heaven seems silent, when the waiting drags on, and when the promised blessings seem delayed beyond all reasonable expectation? That's when the real state of your heart comes to the surface. Think about the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Moses went up the mountain to meet with God. The people saw the fire, heard the thunder, and knew that he was in the very presence of the Almighty. But when Moses' return was delayed, their true desires began to emerge. They fashioned a golden calf, an idol that had already taken root in their hearts, hidden beneath the surface. The delay simply exposed what was already there. They worshipped what they had always secretly longed for. And in doing so, they revealed that they had never truly loved God with all their hearts. That's the inherent danger of the delay before the rapture. It exposes what has always been inside of us. If our love for Jesus is shallow and superficial, the delay will inevitably prove it. If our devotion is merely skin deep, the delay will strip it bare. If our hearts are still entangled with the things of this world, the delay will bring that attachment to light. When the bridegroom seems slow in coming, who or what do you turn to for comfort and solace? Do you keep your eyes fixed on him, or do you run to idols for temporary relief? The delay exposes it all. This is precisely why Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins. The bridegroom was delayed, and while they all slumbered and slept, only the wise virgins had brought extra oil for their lamps. The foolish virgins thought they were safe, that their lamps were sufficient. But the delay revealed their emptiness. When the midnight cry came, there was no hiding, no pretending. Their hearts were exposed for what they truly were, unprepared, careless, and self-deceived. Right now, the very same thing is happening. The delay is revealing the true condition of countless hearts. Some Christians who were once filled with passion and zeal are now drifting aimlessly. They no longer pray with the same urgency, no longer live with a sense of expectancy, and no longer hunger for holiness. The delay has exposed that their initial love was tied to excitement and emotional fervor, not to a deep, enduring commitment. Others, however, are pressing in deeper than ever before. They are praying more fervently, longing more intensely for his presence, and purifying themselves because they genuinely love his appearing. The delay is proving that their love is not a fleeting emotion, but a deep, unshakable devotion. Think again of Lot's wife. She left Sodom with her family, outwardly appearing to be part of the righteous remnant. But when the moment of judgment arrived, the delay in their escape exposed the true condition of her heart. She looked back because her love was still rooted in the city she had left behind. That backward glance cost her everything. You see, the delay will always expose where your heart truly resides. You may appear to be walking with the righteous, but if your heart belongs to the world, the delay will make that crystal clear. The same thing happened with Judas Iscariot. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He witnessed the miracles, heard the teachings, and shared in the ministry. Outwardly, he appeared to be a faithful disciple. But when things didn't unfold in the way he had expected, when Jesus didn't rise up and overthrow the Roman Empire, when the kingdom didn't materialize quickly enough to suit his desires, Judas's heart was exposed. The delay between promise and fulfillment uncovered his greed, his bitterness, and his capacity for betrayal. He ultimately sold the Son of God for a mere 30 pieces of silver. He looked like a follower, but the delay proved that he never truly was. And so, I ask you, what is the delay before the rapture exposing in your own life? Be brutally honest with yourself. Do you find your passion for Christ burning brighter than ever, or is it slowly fading away? Do you still hunger for his presence, or have you gradually settled into a state of spiritual slumber? Do you still long for his coming, or has the delay subtly shifted your focus back to the things of this world? This is not a question to be answered lightly, because the delay will not last forever. When the trumpet sounds, whatever has been exposed in your heart will become the final verdict. There will be no time to cover up your true feelings, no opportunity to scramble for oil at the last minute, and no chance to suddenly shift your allegiances. The delay is the time of revealing, and once it is complete, eternity will begin. Let me speak tenderly here. Some of you who are listening may feel a sense of conviction, because you know that the delay has exposed things in you that simply aren't right. Maybe your love for Christ has grown cold. Maybe you've allowed compromise to slowly creep into your life. Or maybe you've become distracted by the world, caught up in the pursuit of pleasure, success, or even sin. The delay has revealed that your lamp is gradually dimming. Don't ignore that inner conviction. That's the mercy of God reaching out to you, calling you to repent, to return to Him, and to be filled with His Spirit again before it's too late. The very fact that you feel exposed is proof that He is still pursuing you. But hear me clearly. The delay is not endless. Its purpose is being fulfilled right now. It is separating, sifting, testing, and exposing. When that work is complete, the door will shut. Those who have allowed the delay to purify them will enter into the wedding feast. Those who ignored the warning will be left outside. The difference will not be in what you said with your lips, but in what was truly in your heart. Think of Peter and John after the resurrection. They both ran to the tomb when they heard the news. John arrived first, but hesitated to go inside. Peter, however, went right in and saw the evidence for himself. Both had been disciples, both had followed Christ, and both had stumbled along the way. But the delay between the crucifixion and the resurrection revealed something different about each of them. Peter's denial exposed his human weakness, but his subsequent repentance exposed the depth of his love. John's initial hesitation revealed a certain cautiousness, but his unwavering loyalty revealed a profound devotion. Each man's heart was revealed during that waiting period. In the same way, this delay before the rapture is showing what kind of disciple you truly are. Are you like Peter, humbled, repentant, and restored? Are you like John, devoted, faithful, and close to his heart? Or are you like Judas, outwardly loyal, but inwardly sold out to another love? The delay makes the answer crystal clear. Let me tell you the truth. Every secret is coming into the light. That's what delay does. It uncovers the things we thought we could keep hidden. It reveals whether our faith is genuine or merely an act, whether our worship is heartfelt or simply routine, and whether our devotion springs from love or duty. Delay strips away all pretense, leaving only the raw, unvarnished truth of who we are before God. And this is why the delay isn't an act of mercy in the way some people imagine. It isn't an act of mercy for those who want to continue playing with sin, thinking they have plenty of time to get right with God later. It isn't an act of mercy for those who think they can drift along aimlessly and still make it in the end. It is an act of exposure. It is God allowing hearts to be revealed so that when the day of judgment finally arrives, it will be undeniably clear that He is just and righteous in all His ways. So, my friend, don't waste this season. Let the delay expose the true condition of your heart. Yes, it may be painful, but let that pain drive you to deeper repentance, deeper surrender, and deeper love for Jesus. Don't run from what is being revealed. Bring it into the light. Confess it, and let Him cleanse you and make you whole. Because when the trumpet sounds, it will be too late to fix what has already been exposed. The time for repentance is now. The time for preparation is now. The time for wholehearted devotion is now. The rapture will not expose anything new. It will only make public what the delay has already revealed. And on that day, the truth of your heart will be undeniable. Will it show a lamp burning brightly with oil, a life filled with the Holy Spirit, and a soul that longs for Christ? Or will it show emptiness, distraction, compromise, and a love for the world? The delay is answering that question right now. And so, I plead with you, examine your own heart. Let the Holy Spirit search you and reveal the truth. Don't hide behind church attendance, religious words, or outward appearances. Let the delay do its work. Let it purify you, let it prepare you, and let it expose you now, so that when He comes, you will be found ready, faithful, and true. Part 5. The urgency of readiness. If there's one thing that must be pressed upon your heart above all else, it is this. The delay before the rapture is not a license to wait idly. It is a solemn warning to be ready. Every moment that passes is not an invitation to relax and become complacent. It is a clarion call to sharpen your watchfulness and remain alert. Jesus said plainly, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." That means readiness isn't optional. It's not a mere suggestion or a helpful piece of advice. It is a direct command for every single person who claims to bear His name. And readiness isn't simply believing that the rapture is a real event. It's not being able to quote prophetic scriptures or win arguments with skeptics about timelines and dates. Readiness is about the overall state of your soul and the posture of your heart. Readiness means living every single day as if the trumpet could sound at any moment, even tonight. Readiness means carrying no unconfessed sin, harboring no hidden idols, and holding nothing in this world tighter than you hold Jesus. Readiness means your lamp is constantly filled with oil, your garments are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and your eyes are fixed steadfastly on the skies, eagerly awaiting His return. The urgency of readiness is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. Look at the story of Noah. God instructed him to build the ark. He worked faithfully for decades, patiently following God's instructions. He didn't know the exact day that the flood would come, but when the animals began to gather and the door was supernaturally shut by God's own hand, Noah and his family were already safely inside. They were ready. When the rain started to fall, it was too late for everyone else who had scoffed and mocked. The real urgency wasn't when the first raindrop fell from the sky. It was all those years of preparation when everyone else was laughing and ridiculing him. The rapture will be just like that. When the trumpet sounds, it will be far too late to scramble around in a desperate attempt to get ready. Readiness must be cultivated now, not at the last possible second. Lot's story drives this point home even further. When the angels arrived in Sodom, they told him to get out immediately, wasting no time. But Lot lingered, his heart still emotionally tied to the city and its sinful pleasures. Even then, the angels had to physically take him and his family by the hand and drag them out. And Lot's wife, though she physically left the city, looked back longingly, and that single act of disobedience cost her everything. Readiness isn't something you can do halfway. It's not merely outwardly moving with the righteous while inwardly longing for the world. Readiness is total separation from sin, total devotion to Christ. The rapture will expose the same in our day. Some will rise with unspeakable joy, while others will be frozen in place, looking back at the world they can't bear to leave behind, their hearts still chained to Sodom. Jesus warned in Luke 21, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Do you hear the note of urgency in his words? He wasn't warning atheists or agnostics. He was warning his own disciples, those who already believed in him. The real danger isn't that unbelievers will be caught off guard by the rapture. They already scoff and deny its possibility. The real danger is that believers will be lulled into a state of spiritual distraction, weighed down by worldly pleasures, entertainment, business, and anxiety until suddenly the day arrives, and they find that they are not truly ready. Friend, readiness cannot be postponed. You cannot say, "I will get serious about my relationship with Jesus tomorrow," because tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. You cannot say, "I will repent of my sins when I feel more convicted," because spiritual conviction grows weaker the longer you resist it. You cannot say, "I will prepare for the rapture when I see more signs," because by the time the specific sign you're demanding appears, it will almost certainly be too late. The Bible clearly states that he will come like a thief in the night, at a time when you least expect him. The urgency of readiness is now. And remember, readiness isn't rooted in fear, it is rooted in faith. It's not a frantic, last-minute panic, but a steady, unwavering devotion. Readiness is what true love looks like in a state of waiting. A bride doesn't wait for her wedding day with fear and trepidation. She waits with joy, with careful preparation, and with eager anticipation. She meticulously trims her gown, she prepares her heart, and she dreams of the moment when her beloved groom will finally arrive. That's how the church must wait for Christ. The delay isn't meant to scare us into paralysis. It's meant to stir us into purposeful preparation. The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus that we should live looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice the word looking. Not casually glancing, not occasionally remembering, but actively looking, earnestly expecting, fervently longing, and eagerly anticipating. That is the very heartbeat of true readiness. Every day you wake up, you should say, "Perhaps today." Every night you lie down to sleep, you should say, "Perhaps tonight." You should live with your heart tilted toward heaven, your ears attuned to the sound of the trumpet. This sense of urgency is what fueled the early church and enabled them to live with such passion and fire. They genuinely believed that Christ could return in their own lifetime. That constant expectancy drove them to lives of holiness, boldness, and sacrificial service. They turned the world upside down because they weren't clinging to it. They lived ready. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and the urgency hasn't diminished in the slightest. In fact, it has only intensified with the passage of time. Every prophetic sign is closer to fulfillment. Every news headline seems to scream out his imminent return. If the early church lived ready without seeing even a fraction of what we see today, how much more should we be living with a profound sense of urgency now? But here is the tragedy. Instead of living with urgency, many Christians today are living with a troubling sense of apathy. The delay has numbed them to the nearness of Christ's return. They say things like, "I've been hearing about the rapture my whole life." People have been saying Jesus is coming soon for decades, and nothing has happened yet. That is exactly what the Apostle Peter warned about. Scoffers who would say, "Where's the promise of his coming?" That attitude is spiritual poison. It dulls your sense of urgency, it kills your watchfulness, and it leaves you tragically unprepared. So, I must ask you, what are you doing with this delay? Are you letting it lull you into complacency and spiritual slumber, or are you using it to fuel your preparation and intensify your devotion? Are you living as if tomorrow is guaranteed, or are you living as if eternity could break into this world at any moment? Because readiness isn't something you can fake. It's not something you can borrow at the last second. When the midnight cry finally comes, you will either be ready or you will not be. The wise virgins had oil in their lamps. The foolish virgins did not. No one could give or share their oil at that critical moment. The moment of truth revealed the true state of their hearts, and the door was shut. Readiness means that your priorities are fully aligned with eternity. It means you don't waste your precious time on things that ultimately don't matter. It means you live a life of holiness because the Bible clearly states that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It means you forgive quickly, love deeply, and serve faithfully. It means you are actively engaged in your Father's business, not distracted by the fleeting noise and allurements of the world. Readiness means that your heart beats first and foremost for Jesus above all else. And finally, Readiness also implies a sense of urgency for the salvation of others. If you genuinely believe that the rapture is near, you won't just prepare yourself, you will also warn others. You will share the gospel with a sense of urgency and passion. You will plead with your unsaved loved ones to turn to Christ, and you will fervently intercede for the lost, knowing that their time is running out. You don't squander this period of waiting on selfish pursuits and comforts. Instead, see it as a window of opportunity to extend mercy to those who still need to find salvation. This is what it truly means to live in a state of readiness, not just being personally prepared, but being wholeheartedly and actively engaged in the mission of Christ. My friends, don't be deceived by this delay. The trumpet announcing his return could sound before this day is even over. The sky could split open tonight. And even if that doesn't happen, it doesn't mean you can relax and become complacent. It simply means you've been given another day to prepare, another day to replenish the oil in your lamp, another day to ensure that your heart is right with God. That is the very essence of the urgency of readiness. So, let me look you straight in the eye and ask you this. If the trumpet were to sound right now, would you rise to meet him with joy, or would you find yourself left behind, filled with regret? Don't dismiss that question lightly. Don't try to comfort yourself with vague hopes and assumptions. Examine your heart with honesty and sincerity. Be brutally honest with yourself, because your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. The delay before the rapture isn't a period of grace for those who are unprepared. It's the final, urgent call to readiness. And when that delay finally comes to an end, there will be no second chances, no further warnings, and no more time to get things right. The door will be shut, the bridegroom will arrive, and your eternal destiny will be irrevocably sealed. That is why I implore you, be ready now, without any further delay. Conclusion: this is the final call, my friend. We have journeyed together through some weighty and profound truths. We have explored the deception of the delay, the testing of our faith, the separation within the church, the exposure of our hearts, and the pressing urgency of readiness. And now, as we reach the conclusion of this message, I want to speak to you as if this were the very last time you and I would ever have the opportunity to speak to each other. Because in a very real and tangible sense, it very well could be. None of us knows how much time we have left on this earth. None of us can guarantee that we will have another day, another hour, or even another breath. And when it comes to the return of Christ, there is nothing more dangerous than assuming that you still have plenty of time to prepare. The delay before the rapture has caused confusion for many people. It has led some to believe that God is slow in fulfilling his promises, that perhaps the promise itself is uncertain, or that maybe the whole concept is simply a symbol and not a reality. But we know better than that. Jesus himself promised, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The angels reassured the disciples as he ascended into heaven. This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go. Paul wrote that the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The rapture is not a myth or a fable. It is not an allegory or a symbolic story. It is the next great and monumental event on God's prophetic calendar, and every tick of the clock brings us closer to its fulfillment. So why the delay? Why the waiting? Why hasn't he come back yet? We have seen the answer clearly. The delay is not an act of mercy in the way that many people misunderstand it to be. It is not leniency or indulgence for the careless and indifferent. It is not an excuse for those who are lukewarm in their faith. It is the refiner's fire that reveals what is genuine and what is not. It is the test that separates the wheat from the chaff. It is the moment that unmasks the true condition of our hearts. It is God shaking the church, separating the true believers from the pretenders, and exposing the hidden things of the heart. The delay is the threshing floor where the wheat is separated from the husks. It is the final proving ground, the ultimate test, before we enter into eternity. And when it finally ends, the door will be shut, and there will be no turning back. This means that you cannot afford to waste this precious moment. You cannot gamble on the uncertainties of tomorrow. You cannot tell yourself, "I'll get right with God later." Later may never come. When the midnight cry goes out, when the trumpet sounds its resounding call, there will be no time left to prepare. Readiness is not something you can accomplish in a frantic rush at the last second. It must be the consistent way you live your life now. The wise virgins in the parable could not give oil to the foolish virgins at midnight because oil cannot be transferred from one person to another. Faith cannot be borrowed or acquired secondhand. Holiness cannot be shared like a commodity. Salvation cannot be inherited from your parents or grandparents. Each person must be ready for themselves, and that readiness must be genuine and authentic. It cannot be just empty words, mere church attendance, or a superficial outward appearance. It must be a heart that has been washed clean in the blood of Jesus, filled with His Holy Spirit, living in holiness, and eagerly longing for His appearing. So, let me ask you again, with all sincerity, are you truly ready? If the sky were to split open tonight, if the trumpet were to sound right now, would you rise to meet Him with joyful anticipation, or would you be left behind, filled with regret and despair? Don't answer too quickly, without careful consideration. Don't brush it off with vague confidence or wishful thinking. Look honestly and critically at your own heart. Has this delay revealed any compromises in your life? Has it exposed any idols, distractions, or sins that you've been tolerating? Has it shown that your love for Him has grown cold and distant? That your lamp is running dangerously low on oil? If so, don't give in to despair. Repent now, without hesitation. Right now is the time to turn back to Him. Don't push it aside for another day. Don't tell yourself, "I'll take care of it one day." This is the day of salvation. This is the moment of decision. God is calling you to be ready, to wake up from your slumber, to replenish the oil in your lamp, and to purify your heart. And if you are ready, if your lamp is burning brightly with the fire of the Holy Spirit, then let this delay purify you even further. Let it deepen your hunger and thirst for Christ. Let it fuel your urgency for the salvation of the lost. Let it drive you to a life of holiness, fervent prayer, and unwavering boldness. Use this time wisely, because when it comes to an end, eternity begins. Don't waste this delay on fleeting comforts and selfish pursuits. Use it for consecration and setting yourself apart for God. Don't waste it on distractions and trivialities. Use it for devotion and deepening your relationship with Him. Don't waste it on fear and anxiety. Use it for faith and unwavering trust in His promises. One day soon, the trumpet will sound its unmistakable call. The sky will split open with glory. The graves of the righteous will burst open. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, the church will be gone, raptured to be with Christ forever. Millions of believers will vanish from this world, taken to be with Him in eternal glory. And those who are left behind will face a tribulation unlike anything the world has ever seen. The difference between being taken and being left behind is not based on how much Bible knowledge you possess, how many sermons you've heard, or how many times you've sat in a church pew. The difference boils down to this. Are you truly His? Has your heart been completely surrendered to Him? Is your lamp full of the oil of the Holy Spirit? Are you watching, waiting, and ready for His return? The delay before the rapture isn't an act of undeserved mercy. It's a warning, a signpost, and an invitation to examine ourselves. It's the final call before eternity closes in. And you must decide, right here and right now, what you are going to do with it. Will you use it to drift aimlessly, to compromise your faith, and to put off repentance for another day? Or will you use it to wake up from your spiritual slumber, to press in closer to God, and to live in a state of constant readiness? The choice is yours, but the trumpet will not wait for you to make up your mind. When it sounds, the decision will be final, and there will be no turning back. So I plead with you, make your decision now, before it's too late. If you are living in sin, repent and turn back to Christ with all your heart. If your love for Him has grown cold, cry out for the fire of His Spirit to fill you again and rekindle your passion. If you've been distracted by the things of this world, lay aside every weight that hinders you and fix your eyes on Jesus. If you've been half-hearted in your commitment, surrender completely and without reservation. Don't gamble with your eternity. Don't waste this precious delay, because one day soon, there will be no more delay. The waiting will come to an end. The bridegroom will come for His bride. And when that happens, the only thing that will matter is whether or not you were ready, my friend. I cannot make that choice for you. Your pastor cannot make it for you. Your parents cannot make it for you. Only you can make the decision to follow Christ wholeheartedly. But I can tell you this with absolute certainty. Choosing Christ fully, completely, and without reservation right now is the only choice that will ultimately matter when the trumpet sounds and eternity breaks into this world. So I leave you with this urgent and heartfelt call. Be ready. Live ready. Stay ready. Because the delay before the rapture isn't mercy in the way you might think. It's your test, your warning, and your final chance to get things right with God. And when it ends, eternity begins, and your destiny will be sealed forever.